Good to see you guys this morning. Glad that you're here at Chet's Creek. This morning, we're beginning a brand new series for the next 5 weeks. We just finished up the book of Exodus in our Sunday morning worship time. We're finishing it up today in life group time. And so what I'm talking about today really corresponds with the last of the study of Exodus, because we're going to talk about worship. Over the next 5 weeks, I want to share with you a study related to what matters most. And I'm going to get you guys to throw it up on the screen, if you would, the Roman columns. We're going to talk about what matters most, and it's kind of a picture, if you might say, of how our church is organized and how we're patterned and why we do what we do and what's most important, because everything cannot be equally important. Have y'all figured that out? Everything in life, everything cannot be equally important. And so we decided years ago what mattered most in our church and what we thought mattered most for you in your daily life, in your personal life. And so just to kind of give you a picture of this, what matters most is that we live on the foundation of this church and should be the foundation of our lives is the written and living Word of God. The Bible is the written Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And everything should be our foundation. That should be our rock. That should be what we stand on. And then ultimately, the four columns represents four specific things we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. But then at the top of this building, you might say, is everything we do should point people to Jesus Christ. In fact, we ask a ministry that we have a lot of people that ask us to partner with them. And we ask a ministry, hey, tell me about the faith base of your ministry. And we had one ministry some years ago say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so we do some really good things, but we're just afraid that if we bring Jesus into it, that it'll offend some folks. And we said, well, we're afraid we can't give you any money because you don't bring Jesus into it. Because everything we do should point people to Jesus Christ and increase heaven. So this morning, and we're going to put the first column, but we're going to talk about worship. So go ahead and throw that up there. Worship is one of the columns that holds up the building of the church, that holds up the building of who we are in Christ. And so today we're going to talk about why worship matters and also talk about how you and I can better understand to be worshipers of God, what worship really is. Because most people think about worship, they think, oh, that's the singing part. We just had worship. And that 15 minutes is worship, and that is biblically inaccurate and biblically incorrect. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, as a key verse, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 38. Deuteronomy 6, 5 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And this is God speaking to the nation of Israel through Moses, right as they're getting ready to go into the promised land. He told them the most important thing to do, the one thing they cannot forget, is to love God with all of their being. That was priority. When that was in place, everything else made sense. And then later in Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, what is the first and greatest commandment? What is the most important thing? And in Matthew 22, it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and they sent one guy to talk to Jesus. And this Pharisee spokesman said, the expert of the law tested him, and he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And without dropping a step, without taking a breath, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with our heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus followed this up when he was asked by a religious leader, what's the first and greatest commandment? He answered that. He said, if you put God first in everything you do, if you put God first in every aspect of your life, in your heart, your soul, and your mind, if you put him first, then your life will fit. It'll make sense. And so today I want to talk to you about what worship is, what loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind is, what putting God first. And I want to ask you this question. Are you putting God first? Am I putting God first in every aspect of my life? Am I allowing some things to take first place over my relationship with God? And the easy answer is for all of us, yes. Now, the fill in the blank, what that is going to be different. But all of us struggle at times with putting God first in every aspect of our life. And so we're going to talk about how to do that and in a way that pleases God, honors God, but also releases you from worry and doubt and fear and anxiety and all those things that not putting God first does. Before we go any further, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the great time of worship we just had as we sang and raised our hands and were reminded of who you are and that the name of Jesus has power and it gives us opportunity to know you. But also, God, we pray that we'd be reflected, that you speak to our hearts and that you would challenge us today. I pray, oh God, that you would, your Holy Spirit would move in this place and we would see personal and corporate revival, that we would see you do something today that is unbelievable, unexpected, and that you could get the credit for. So God, would you speak to us today? Would you move in our hearts and lives? Would you change lives today? And God, I pray that you speak through me. That's my prayer and hope in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with this truth. The first what matters most is this, and the most important what matters most is this. Number one, what matters most is that I worship God. What matters most is that I worship God. Look at this passage of Scripture. Do not worship any other gods beside me. Do not make idols of any kind, whether in the shape of birds or animals or fish. Okay, let's keep on going. You must never worship or bow down to them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not share your affection with any other God. I find it interesting that he mentions birds and animals and fish. Because you say, well, I would never make an idol of a bird or an animal or fish. How about the Miami Dolphins? The Jacksonville Jaguars? The LSU Tigers? The Alabama Big Fat Ugly Elephants? How about those? Just saying. You know, what? We do make idols of things. How about a Mercury Cougar or a Ford Mustang, you know, or whatever. We do worship things that have animal names at times, you know, if we're not careful. And as we've just finished studying Exodus, God is trying to help them see that worship, if you worship him first, everything else falls into proper order. But when our worship is out of order, our life will fall apart. If we put anything other than God above God, we get what that thing can give us. And so let's explain clearly what worship is. Biblical worship, what it means. Number one, first of all, worship is showing my love to God because of his love for me. I worship God because God has already shown his love for me. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Worship is showing my love to God because of his love for me. Worship is expressing love to God. Most of the time, we equate worship with singing. I've had people say to me, oh, I just love the worship part of your service, the time we sing together. Let me assure you that singing is not the only way to worship. In fact, I've said this 1,000 times before. I've heard some of you sing. All right. We're just thankful that God looks at the heart, not just the voice, aren't we? God loves a cheerful heart, the Bible says. That's good, okay? So let me ask you a question. How do you express worship to significant others in your life? How do you show other people that you worship them? Do you sing to them? Let's just talk about this a minute. How many of you guys here, when you really want to show your wife you love her, start singing to her? Anybody? How many of you wives are thankful that your husband does not show love to her by him singing to you? All right. So let's just have some fun for a minute. Let's just throw some things out there, okay? We're going to show you the difference in men and women right here, okay? Men, I want you to just throw it out there. I want to share with the group of the whole. How you show love to your wife. What are some things you do to show your wife you love her? Just throw it out there.
The house.
Cooking. Cooking. What else?
Clean the house,
okay. What else? Spend time with her. Put dishes in the dishwasher. Take dishes out of the dishwasher. What?
Laundry.
Fold the laundry. Do the laundry.
Flowers.
Okay, what else? One at a time. I missed that one. What now? Don't complain about the Broncos. That's a good one. What else?
Leave her alone.
That's good. If you didn't hear over here, he said, leave her alone, okay? What else?
Buy her Tiffany's.
Buy her Tiffany's. There you go. That's right. That's right. Take her out to eat. Okay, okay, okay. Guys, that's what you think. Now, ladies, share with us what are some ways your husband can show you that he loves you. And don't say leave her alone. It's already been said.
Listening.
I'm sorry?
Listening.
Listening, okay? Not one of us said that, did we, guys? Listening. You know what? Because we don't know how to do that. That's why, okay? Listening. What else?
Clean the house.
Clean the house. You're getting 2 points for that. Clean the house. What else?
Don't give advice.
Don't give advice, okay? This is like marriage counseling 101. This is awesome. What else? I'm sorry?
Do the dishes.
Do the dishes, okay? Do the dishes. What else?
Emotional support.
Whoa, whoa, stop, let's start with their emotional support. Some of you ladies expect a miracle. I'm just telling you right now. So we got to work on that one, guys. I'm just telling you right now. We don't know how to do that. That's a good one. We don't know how to do it. What else now?
Take care of your body.
Take care of their body. Take care of the body and take you shopping. Two totally different things right there, okay? That's good. What else? Over here?
Love Jesus.
That's a good one. Over here?
Watch romance movies
with you. My wife and I have a deal. We go to a movie. We'll take turns. I go to a chick flick with her. And then she'll go to something I like an action flick or something like that. I got to tell you, if I see The Notebook one more time, I'm going to cut my throat. I'm just telling you right now. It's over. I just cannot. Anything with the last name Sparks on it that wrote it, I'm dying. It's just killing me. So, but we do it because we love you, okay? Now, here's my point. If Jesus was standing up here and saying, this is what you can do to worship me, how different would it be than what we think? Because you notice, guys, the lady said a lot of things different than what we said. Not one guy said, show her emotional support. Because we were afraid we'd have to do it. Not one guy said, go do a chick flick. Because we were afraid we'd have to do it. You see, worship is expressing love to God in a way that he receives it. Not what's easiest for us, but what best honors him. And so I'm going to talk about that. Number two, worship is giving myself to God because he gave himself for me. Worship is saying, God, because of all you've done for me, I give myself to you. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, most of what God does is love us. Then he says, keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe, if you want to love others, observe how Christ loved us. His love is not cautious, it was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. You see, the word worship really literally means showing something worth. It comes from the old Gaelic word, the old English word meaning showing worth. And so what do you and I show worth to? What do we give ourselves to? What is it that we worship? Then third, worship is an act of love, but worship also is an act of service. Because it is very important that your wife and husband know this. Just to say you love someone but not show you love someone is a lie. And so to say we love God but not show we love God is a lie. And so worship is an act of service. Matthew 4:10 says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What this means is that we give our greatest service time to that which we worship. Many times we're blinded by the fact that we have slowly allowed something to replace God in our worship. Someone once said that our calendar and our cash really points to our God. And I think there's some truth in that. Our calendar and our cash really points to that which we worship. Now, let me give you several reasons why worshiping God doesn't matter to us. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse to not worship God. What I'm saying to you is, there's some reasons we don't worship God. There's some reasons why we let the worship of God become so secondary to us. Because what happens in our lives many times leads us subtly to allowing other things to take priority, other things to become personal idols for us. Number one, we fall into the trap of not worshiping God when we become self-centered, when it becomes more about us than God, when we trust what we desire more than what God desires, we trust what we want more than what God wants. And what happens is we literally begin to worship self. And you know, that's not that hard to do. It is not that hard to worship self. It is not hard for us to make us number one in our life. Not hard for us to get that foam finger that says, I'm number one, you know. And so let's think about that for just a second. Romans 8:7 explains it this way. It says, focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing. It is easy to buy into, and we're hearing it more and more and more in our society. It is easy to buy into this idea that I matter most. It's all about me. It's about my happiness, my joy, my purpose. And literally, when we say that, when we buy into that, what we're saying is, I am my own God. I've set myself on the altar of me. I am the God, the center of my universe. Now, here's the funny thing. All of us, if you think about it, can name people that we've thought that about them. Can't we? If you sit here 5 or 6 minutes, you can think of people who, yeah, they're just like that. I work with people like that they're number one, they're most important. All they think about is themselves. It's about them, you know, dragging and digging their way to the top without any concern about anybody else. But then all of a sudden, you begin to think about your own life. You say, you know what? Sometimes I do that as well. The sad thing is, if we're not careful, those people that we see as those who tend to care about only themselves, those people become us. And if we're not careful, we can become the center of our own universe at the lack of the one who rightfully deserves that place. The second reason we tend to worship God less or less important is this. We bind to a self-centered culture. We worship stuff. We bind to a self-centered culture. We worship stuff. We make things that which we need to make us happy. We make things. If I just had this thing, if I just had this job, if I just had this relationship, if I just had this opportunity, if I got to do this thing, then my life would have meaning and purpose. What if you didn't have those things? In God's eyes, does a child in Mozambique have any less purpose than a person who works out of Washington, D.C.? In God's eyes, does a child who lives in Nicaragua have any less purpose than a person who works in the financial district New York City? No. Because whether you're in New York or Washington or Nicaragua or Mozambique, in God's eyes, you have purpose. Romans 12:2, first part of that verse says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your focus, your attention on God. Unlike the culture around you, which will always drag you down to its level, notice this word, of immaturity. Because the more things become important to us, the more immature we become. You see, from the time a child can watch and understand TV, our country's culture is teaching them that there is something they don't have. There is something they need. There is something they want. We are daily being taught that stuff and new stuff and updated stuff can fill our greatest needs, hopes, desires. But you and I both know they're empty, empty promises. Because stuff will never satisfy. And so it leads us to think, well, how do we make worshiping God matter? How do we make loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind a normal part of our life? What are some things we can do? What are some steps we can take? How do we understand making worship a priority? In Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 30, similar venue, somebody came to him and said, "Lord, what's the first and greatest commandment?" Jesus said this. But in Mark chapter 12, he added a piece, added a point. Jesus said, "The most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said that the most important truth is putting God first. He said when you put God first, you have a compass that will lead you down the right path. Anything else, when you put anything else first, your compass gives you a false reading. Leads you down the wrong path. Have you ever used Google Maps or MapQuest or Waze or some of those things? And have you ever followed their direction and realized, I'm not going the right way? Have you ever noticed when you open it back up and you think it'll give you three paths, and one of them's like an hour and 20 minutes and one's like 37 minutes? You're thinking, why did you give me the hour and 20 minute one? You know, because you click on the shortest path. Well, that's the same thing. To worship God is following the best path. It's the Google Maps for life. It's the Waze for life. And God makes it very clear to us that how we worship God really does matter. And choosing to put God first will make everything else in life fall into place. Because I'm telling you, and not just stuff, but in relationships. I mean, when you were 12 and 13 year old, some of you already planning your wedding. You said, "Boy, once I get married, my life's going to have meaning and purpose." Now I can tell you, I don't know one guy who says when I was 12 or 13, I was planning my wedding. I can't think of one. I can't think of a guy a week before he's getting married was thinking about the wedding. I can tell you that. My counsel to guys getting married is: shut up, listen up, show up. That's all you got to do. Let the bride and the mother of the bride make all the decisions, and you just say, "Yes, dear, what a great idea. You're unbelievable. I can't believe you came up with that color scheme and those flowers. That's great. I'll be there." But then we think, once we get married, then we think, once we get this job, but then we think, once, and then you start having kids. And everything that life brings you can easily become your idol, can easily become that which you worship. And that's dangerous and destructive. Because no husband or wife, no child, no job, no nothing. When you put it first, it demeans and it separates and it can destroy your walk with God. So number one, five things to think about. Number one, worship is expressing my affection to God. The Bible says to worship God with all my heart, and with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my soul. Psalm 28:7 says this: "The Lord is my strength, my shield from every danger. I trust in Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." The Bible teaches there's many ways to show worship to God. We worship God through singing. We worship God through praying. We worship Him through serving. We worship Him through giving. We worship Him through reading and hearing His Word. We worship God through obeying Him. We worship through spending time with Him. We worship God through telling others about Him. All of these are acts of worship. All of these show God that He has worth for us. And so if I'm to worship God with all my heart and all my soul, the key truth is this: I'm to worship God passionately. I'm to worship God passionately with all my heart and soul. What does that mean? It means I'm to worship God in the same way He loves me. Exodus 34:14 says, He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with us. Think about that word, passionate. But when I think about something, when I say somebody is passionate about something, he's passionate about exercise. He's passionate about his job. He's passionate about his team. That means that that's above and beyond. And the Bible says God is passionate about you. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's hard for me to even accept that God can be passionate about me. I know me. And there are times I'm not passionate about me. There are times I don't like me. But the Bible says God is passionate about me and he's passionate about you. And we're to worship God with all of our heart and with all our soul. That's with passion. And whatever that word means to you, energy or excitement or enthusiasm or I give my best to it. That's what it's talking about. We're to worship God with our whole heart, Jesus said, with our whole soul. But he also said, interesting enough, we're to worship God with our minds. There's some who practice a worship where their mind is totally left out of it. I mean, they're just all the emotion and all this and noise and all like that. But they're not thinking. They're just, they kind of, in some kind of crazy out-of-body experience. But the Bible really doesn't point to that. Some type of ecstatic, out of control. It says, worship God with your heart and soul, yes, but also with your mind. What does that mean? It means, second, worship is focusing my attention on God. It's thinking about God. It's thinking who God is, what he is, how he is for us. It's considering the breadth and the depth and the unbelievable truth about God. Think about this. God is Trinity, the Bible says. He is three in one. He is one God, but he's revealed himself in three unique persons. Think about that. Almost makes your head explode. I mean, it's just hard to understand how big and so other than us, God is. And so I worship not a God that is like me. I worship God who is wholly other than me, uniquely different than me, yet loves me anyway. Matthew 6:6, the Bible says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a quiet and secluded space so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there simply and honest as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. It's talking about finding some time and finding a place just to focus and think about God. One of the most life-changing, life-altering things you can do is spending time without the television, without aggravation, without annoyance, without anybody else. Just get away for 10 or 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day, and spend some time just thinking about and talking to and considering God. That would be awesome. Thank you so much. Think about that. We're not just to run around hollering, dancing and shouting, hooping and hollering. I don't care about that. I mean, if you want to do that, great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I want you, and with Michael even open it for me. She's afraid I wasn't strong enough to open it, so I appreciate you doing that. And you know, if you were to run laps to worship God, if that makes you feel better, as long as it doesn't, you know, be so distracting that it hurts somebody else, that's fine. But it's not just with our emotions, it's also with our mind. Think on who God is. I'm to think about that. Here's the key truth. I'm not just to worship God passionately, I'm also to worship God thoughtfully with my mind. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed in you. Do you hear that? Do you lack peace in your life? You're not thinking about God enough. So what Isaiah says, God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. And he said, what does that mean? Whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, when you begin to see the problem is bigger than, you need to see Jesus is bigger than the problem. When you begin to see the situation is bigger than, you need to begin to see Jesus for who he is for you. And that covers every aspect of life. God challenges us to think on him and to think about him, to consider his ways, his love, his heart, his word. He says our worship should reflect thought, not just emotion. And then third, based on what Jesus said, Worship is using my abilities for God. Worship is using my abilities for God. I'm to worship God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. And what's the fourth one? All my strength. That relates to giving back the gifts and abilities that God has given me. Romans 12:1. So here's what I want you to do with God's help. I want you to take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and I want you to place it before God as an offering. In fact, the Bible says in the King James that our service is a reasonable, meaning that's what God should expect from us, is a reasonable act of worship. The Bible says we use our God-given gifts and talents and our abilities in service to Him. That is an act of worship. And when we don't, we're withholding worship from Him. In fact, it goes on to say that's the least we should do. If you and I are born again children of God, we've been given gifts by God. Remember, we say, the minute we say yes to Jesus, the Bible says our heart is bathed with the Holy Spirit. And immediately He implants in us spiritual gifts. And He gives those to us, not so we can wear them as trophies or trophies around our neck. He gives them to us so we can use them for God's glory. And in fact, it goes on to say, when we don't do that, we're being disobedient and we're openly sinning against God. That when we don't serve God, it shows our lack of worship. That's why we say, one of our major statements at Chess Creek is that Christians who just sit and soak sin and sour. Because God has called us to serve. So the key truth is I'm not just to worship God passionately, and I'm not just to worship God thoughtfully, but I'm to worship God practically. I'm to worship God practically. You know, we'll see some folks on Sunday morning, they'll worship with their hands raised and to the sky, and you think, boy, that guy or that gal's a worshiper. Now, yes, that's how they worship. And some people, maybe their heads bowed and arms crossed, just in silence and solitude, and some just sing. You know, and we express worship in different ways. Let me just say to you, whether you do this or whatever, if you're not serving, you're not worshiping. That's just the bottom line. If you're not serving, you're not worshiping. Now, that's true in your marriage. That's true in every other relationship. If you're not serving, you're not worshiping. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you're working for the Lord and not for people. Worship is not just an emotional thing or intellectual thing. It's a practical thing. Because what's in our heart takes up most of our time. It's what we spend most of our money on. What we constantly do denotes our worship. Worship is practical. It allows us to put first things first. When we do that, everything else falls into proper order. Worship, literally stated, worship protects me and you from me and you. When I worship God first, it protects me from me because in my heart is evil. In my heart is deceit. In my heart is selfishness. But when I put God first, those things slowly, slowly, slowly filter away. So as you think about worship today, I want you to think about this, just in closing, just a closing thought. Where is your focus? Where is your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What are you giving your energy to? What are you making most important to you? Is God just a little sideline protection over here? Is God just a safety net? Is God just a little insurance policy when things get tough? But otherwise, I'm going to put my focus on a lot of other stuff. Now, I'm not saying quit your job or quit your sports or quit your activities. I'm saying do those things for the glory of God. Put Him first. Psalm 139, 1 through 3 says this, you've looked deep into my heart, Lord. You know everything is about me. That should make all of us nervous just a little bit. You know everything about me. You know when I'm resting. You know when I'm working. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. You see, God knows our true worship. He knows our true priority, our true purpose. So this morning, my prayer is that God is speaking to you and speaking to me, and He's challenging us about our worship. Maybe this morning, you need to openly, just honestly, symbolically say, Lord, I transfer my worship of this or that or the other. I put you first. I need to confess to you, God, that I've allowed some other false idols to creep in and steal your worship. So I'm going to ask you this morning, I'm going to ask me this morning, is there anything in your life that you've allowed to take priority? Is there anything in your life that you come to realize you worship more than God? Now, this is the prayer I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for me. Dear Lord, I worship you. If there's anything in my life that has taken first place in my heart, would you please show me? If there's anything in my life that's taken place, first place in my life, that I worship more than you, I want you to reveal it to me so I can confess it and forsake it and ask you to help me with it. Please forgive me and help me put you back on the throne, the altar of worship of my life. Let's pray together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me just say this. If you've not turned your life over to Christ, you've not made him first place, you've not asked him to be your Savior, then that is a clear sign that you're worshiping you more than him. And you're missing out on the greatest gift you'll ever have. So let's pray. Father God, this morning we pray that you speak to our hearts and lives, that you would challenge us and convict us, that you show us, oh God, areas in our life that we've allowed to become our worship. Father, whatever it is, it can be a multitude of things. Would you just say to our hearts right now, individually, this has become your worship. Reject it. Turn from it. Don't make it priority. Turn back to me. Oh God, forgive us. We take so much for granted. Sometimes we take you lightly. We recognize you're going to love us anyway, and you're going to always be there for us, and so we allow some other things to get more important and get in the way. So God, please forgive us. Draw us closer to you. Help us to become mature in our faith. Help us to love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us not to be afraid to live our faith out before others and to make you and the worship of you first in our lives. God, I pray that anybody here today without Christ, is anyone here today who cannot go back to a time when they invited you to be the center of their life, they invited you to forgive their sins and allowed your death on the cross to pay for the sins, at this very morning, they would just simply pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me, forgive my sins, come into my heart, be my Savior. I'm ready to take this step of faith and be your child, and you be my first priority of worship. That's our hope, oh God, we pray. And we act and ask this in the name of Jesus, who is our hope and the only hope this world will ever have.